Well, it's a quiet day here at the radio station because all the staff have decided, hey, what the heck, why come back for one day? Let's just have a four-day holiday, except for the announcers and except for two guests who are joining me in the studio right now, Bob Catter and Jackie Lambie. Good morning.
Good morning.
G'day.
G'day, mate.
That's it. Welcome to the studios. Now, obviously, you guys aren't taking the day off today. What's going on?
Well, I think you guys pay us to work 7 days a week, isn't that right?
That's the rumour.
Yeah,
that's
apparently. The rumor. There's only a couple of us. That'd be me and Bob that do that, by the way. I don't know about the rest of them.
Yeah, I read something in paper, of course. You're dealing with the veteran situation.
Yeah, so I usually come up here a couple of times a year to do that, but obviously because of COVID last year, so now we're playing catch-up.
Do you know COVID's celebrating its birthday today, by the way?
Oh, is it?
1 year. I just read on this day's COVID-19 case in Australia confirmed in Melbourne on this day, 2020.
Okay, and then we had the Ruby Princess where people come to Tasmania. We were the first ones in lockdown.
That was good. Back to the veteran side of things.
Yes.
What are you up to?
So yesterday went out to Toombies. Obviously, we today is the RSL. We're doing two lots in there today. We're doing the families and that this afternoon.
What's that?
They'll come in. Mm-hmm. They'll come in and let us know if they're having problems with their claims. Just let us know how they're dealing with DVA, what's going on in their lives. See if we can help them out from our end. Mm-hmm. And then this evening at 6 o'clock, it's just we've told just put it out there to the people that we're in there. If there's any veterans still that would like to see us or having any difficulties with those claims or anything else, to pop into the RSL. Other than that, they can always contact my office in Burnie.
Because it's a tough time.
A very tough time. Christmas time's the worst.
That's right. And of course, there's no place they could ring over Christmas too. Most of them are closed over Christmas,
of course. Yes, they are. Yeah, so their battle against especially PTSD, you know, and then they're having alcohol issues and that, so they really get into it. It gets really heavy and hard for them over that Christmas period.
So what's the deal with funding too for that sort of thing? Like, I'm not too sure. RSL, of course, generates a lot of money for the returned soldiers, and those poker machines, the amount of money that goes through, that's a hell of a lot of money. What about services? Like, is there much money for this sort of thing?
It makes me, I have to ask the question, well, we've got 3.5 service organisations that have got charity status out there, and I have to ask them where all the money is and why we've got so many homeless veterans out there.
What's the deal with that?
But you know what, they need to start pulling the load and they need to stop waiting for a rainy day, because right now it's pouring.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pouring out there for those veterans, and it's getting worse. Yeah. A lot of those guys have done the Middle East, they're now getting out, and this is when that PTSD will really hit them, because they're not being distracted and they're not feeling any purpose.
And being a garrison city, I get to talk to a lot of people, and you hear a lot of the stories too, which unfortunately are suicide.
Suicide.
The numbers.
Yeah, the numbers are shocking, and they're rising, and they're going to get worse. So, and it's not just the ones, obviously, that are under Veterans Affairs, it's the ones that are actually taking their lives that are serving.
Yeah,
which is more, you know, that's really popped up the last few years.
Yeah,
nice. I've been very, very much interfacing with Jackie to try and get it up here. You know, she comes up regularly about with COVID, but I think she's badly needed. You know, she's looked at as a leader in this area, and it's important for them to see their leaders. Mm. So I'm deeply appreciative of coming up. But just two quick incidents. I was out at the Bushland Beach pub, you know, there's a huge crowd there. And I spoke to, I worked out about 53 people. Mm-hmm. 12 of them were suffering serious PTSD. I mean, really serious, right?
Yeah.
And two of their close friends from the army had done away with themselves.
Yep.
There was 12 out of 53. I got an aeroplane and I happened to be sitting next to a major, a very young major, and he was telling me there wasn't any real problem. Mm. And a captain who happened to be, a retired captain, happened to be on the aeroplane, and he got extremely angry. He came over, pulled out the picture of his platoon, and six of his platoon had done away with themselves. Five had done what effectively was attempting to do away with themselves. Mm. And there were another six on PTSD, serious stress problems.
Yeah.
And he said, "You're telling me that there's no problem?"
Yeah.
And there it was in black and white. You could check it up. You know, he carries around with him wherever he goes, that picture. So there's a huge problem out there. And I just don't think that the government is coming to grips with it.
Not at all.
Remotely.
Not at all.
And not even making an effort to come to grips with it.
No, I think if the government wanted to come to grips with it, Bob, what it will do is not be hiding this and having a Royal Commission on while we're having all these suicides, and put everything on the table once and for all and get it sorted.
And Jackie and I, when we go back, she's in the Senate, I'm in the House of Reps.
Yes.
You know, we will both, you know, put a very big push on. Mm. But I've just been a little bit uncomfortable to move by myself because I'm not getting a clear message from the people themselves that are in trouble as to what should happen. You know, it's no use screaming about everything's bad, but then you've got to make some suggestions as to what should be happening.
Yeah, and Jack's been in the military, of course.
Yeah, military, and then, of course, 10 years of under DVA, and, of course, I walked out in front of a car fighting them after 9 years and that. So I've had both sides. So for me, you can see where, you know, where the issues are. Nothing's changed, and they're getting worse. And,
you're the right person for it. And Bob's right. You get situations where guys just sit at home and they get depressed, pull the curtains, and that's it. If there's programs to go out there and do things and interact with other people, it's got to be done. Otherwise, I've known many, not guys that are military, guys who just pull the curtains in their units and get depressed and that's it.
Yeah, and it's really sad. It's splitting up their family. You know, their wives are leaving. They're not like, a lot of these wives are younger. They're not like the Vietnam veterans' wives who stuck it out with their husbands and gone all the way. There's a lot more separations going on, and therefore the family unit's really paying the price as well, and that's really putting the heat on them.
Well, as we know, it's Garrison City. It's a big one, this one. It's a big one.
I get, sometimes you get a bit, you know, emotional, I suppose is the word, and I'm not an emotional person, but my great-great-uncle died at Gallipoli. My great uncle died soon after release from Shangi. My father joined up, volunteered a year or 2 years before the war broke out because you could see it coming. Right. I joined up before the Indonesian war broke out because I could see it coming. But the family spent an awful lot of its history in uniform, and therefore there's an onus upon me to be getting out there and doing something.
Sure, Bob.
But in this case, Jackie's the leader, you know, and I'm the follower. So what Jackie decides we're going to do, then that's what we're going to do.
Spot on. Spot on. Good stuff. Good work. Now, on to Australia Day tomorrow. And, of course, there's that debate. And I was, strangely enough, team, I was out having a drink last night. You can't tell? And one of the guys there, and he was right what he said.
We're just polite.
Yeah, we are being polite this morning.
He was right. And he said, you know, everyone goes, oh, we shouldn't, you know, support Australia Day. This shouldn't be happening. But they'll take the public holiday. Thank you very much.
Very, very, very true. Very true.
No, I claim to have, you know, a bit of blackfellow in the family trick. And I make the point, we are the Kalkadoons, and we held you blokes at bay for 70 years.
Right.
And we are now the most land-rich people on earth.
Yes, very
per
true.
Head, per head.
Yeah.
We own a number of cattle stations. Yeah. And, but I always say, you know, we got off lightly, really. If you think about the British, I mean, look, you know, the Romans did them over.
Yeah.
Then after they'd finished, the Anglo-Saxons came in and did them over.
Yeah.
And after they'd finished, the Vikings came in and did them over.
Yep.
And they thought, oh, at long last, it's all over. Like bloody hell, the Norman French then arrived and did them over.
Yeah.
Well, we only got, well, the weaker tribes got done over. We Kalkadoons didn't, but the weaker tribes, they only got done over once. They're sort of lucky.
Well, they call us, you know, Australians are racist and all that sort of stuff. But seriously, you know, I, a few years ago, went over to China, of all places. China! There's a country.
They let you back out there, mate. They didn't lock you up.
No, well, it's interesting. Racism, my God. We walked into a bar. Two Aussies walk into a bar. Wouldn't serve us. And I said, look at this.
You sure it wasn't your personal reputation?
No. Wasn't behaving. Well behaved. And also, our guide, and strike me down, Lord, if I'm lying. Our guide was bringing us along the street in Shanghai, and this Chinese man came up, going off at it, going crazy. And I said, what was that all about? He goes, because I'm leading Westerns around the city. I thought, man, they call us racist in Australia.
Scary.
It is.
Very scary.
It is. China is very scary at the moment. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I think on a more very serious note.
Yeah.
And this is, again, getting back to the defence of our nation.
Yep.
The Japanese, in their little book that they gave, you know, manual on servicing your weapon and personal hygiene and that for all the troops in the Southern Army, that were coming down to invade Australia. It said the Europeans, 300,000 Europeans, control hundreds of millions of Asians, and it is our duty to free the yoke of the Europeans, the people of Asia, and there is no place for them here. Now, I think that mentality is out there, alive and well and strong in China.
Yeah.
And von Clausewitz, best books on warfare, ever written. Von Clausewitz said, people without land will look for a land without people. And if you look at human history, very that good. Is very much a truism.
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, you know, there should be a wall of missiles around this country.
Yeah.
And as Churchill said, he didn't say we're outnumbered. There are 5 million soldiers in Europe about to invade England that had 270,000 soldiers.
Yeah.
But he said, when you try and cross that water, he said, for every naval gun you have, we have 20 naval guns.
Yeah.
For every submarine you have, we have 15 submarines. Mm. For every fighter you have, we have one fighter.
Mm.
Well, that's where we need to be going, you know, and it's an age of missiles and drones.
We've got interesting times coming.
There, and they're just not there.
No, they're not. And it's very sad, you know, we've got just enough full-time troops out there to fill just over half the MCG, and you can guarantee only about 3,000 of them are combat ready to go on the front line.
I know.
So go figure that.
Yeah.
When you've got 25% of officers that are now, that's our stack in our defence force, at 25% that don't get on that front line. So I reckon too many chiefs, mate, not enough bloody Indians out there for sure.
Yes, China are ready to rise. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and we're a sleepy.
They are. China's kind of like that angry guy at the bar who's looking at you across the bar. Doesn't do anything, but now he's about to get up and walk across the bar.
Yeah, very scary. Yeah. At least you
and
guys...
And he's a real big bloke.
Yeah, oh, he's a big bloke.
Is that right? Listen, that's all right, Bob. We're down the bottom there, Tasmania. It is good for us being down the bottom. You guys can take your first strikes.
I'm a lot more conscious. They gave us away in the last war. So, Mr. Japan, you can have North Queensland.
Oh, look, usually I'm into the news by now, but the boss is away. So, look, 8:03. 8:03. Anyway, Australia Day tomorrow, and what are you guys up to for Australia Day? Are you visiting the establishments or behaving? Not going to the Mad Cow Tavern, obviously.
No. We'll be walking up and down the Strand, and there will be still veterans' families out there that haven't seen me that can stop and have a bit of a chat, and we'll just see what's going on. I believe you've got Invasion Day down there too, so that could be very interesting. Very interesting. I was advised not to wear any flags or earrings that resemble Australian flags,
identification as a Kolkadoon, I might be one of the heroes down there. We fought you, white beggars.
Oh, guys, I suppose I better get into the news. It's now 8:04, but thanks for coming in. And have yourselves a great Australia Day.
Thank you, you too.
Cheers, bye.